In his new book, Magic Circles, Devin McKinney tries to crack the mystery of what made the Beatles something entirely more than just a rock and roll band that happened to become extraordinarily popular. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says he comes closer than a lot of other Beatles scholars.
"You look like a Beatle," my husband told me a few nights ago. I was curled up in a chair reading Devin McKinney's new book on the Beatles called Magic Circles, and I stopped reading dead in mid-sentence, because what he said hit me with the force of an epiphany. I do look like a Beatle, at least my hair does, and so does the hair of a lot of other 40-something women. Bold on the top with bangs in the front, shaggy in the back. On good days, it looks like Paul's. On bad, flat like Ringo's. Decades ago, my generation of women sat transfixed before the family TV and watched the Beatles twist and shout on Ed Sullivan and then played the Beatles the next day in living room concerts with our girlfriends. Critic Barbara Ehrenreich wrote about this phenomenon in her book, The Hearts of Men, and rightly said that we, then 7 and 8-year-old tweeny boppers, didn't so much want to date the Beatles as be them. Maybe subconsciously we still do. Our middle-aged mop tops are the giveaway. Devin McKinney wants to figure out Beatlemania and beyond in his book. He was born in 1966, as he points out, about a month after the Beatles gave their last live concert. But he's smart, and just as importantly, he's a fan, a Generation Xer who believes that rock and roll miracles can occur, even if he's never personally witnessed one on this scale. Magic Circles is the book to read, especially to gain a deeper understanding of the genesis of the Beatles and their early, joyous music. At his best, McKinney elucidates the central role the Beatles played in 1960s dream life. At his weakest, toward the end of his book, McKinney goes all mythic on us. But most of Magic Circles is so provocative and scrupulously researched, its faults are forgivable, just the way you forgive those instrumentals interlarded on the Help album, because a masterpiece like You've Gotta Hide Your Love Away is always just a groove or two ahead. In the beginning, McKinney tells us, the Beatles, previously named the Quarrymen, burrowed underground, playing basement holes like the Cavern Club, and also behaving like cultural parasites, piecing themselves together from skiffle music, Little Richard Roadhouse, and uptown girl group harmony. McKinney rightly analyzes every bootleg guitar twang from this subterranean period, looking for the moment. He finds it in 1960 at the Star Club in Hamburg, Germany. There, McKinney says, is the seed of all that came later, the mania, the Beatles pushing, their audience pushing back. McKinney talks brilliantly about the performances of this German chrysalis period, about how the Beatles take a song like Chuck Berry's Sweet Little 16 and beat it to within an inch of its life, precisely because they're not American. They had to work harder because the song's Americanisms don't mean anything to them or their German audience. Either it would rock or it would do nothing at all. And so out of this straining comes John Lennon's famous scream and the group's trademark breakouts and the Beatles' promise, musically and otherwise, that something will happen. McKinney goes on to do some terrific extended close readings of Beatles songs, especially controversial ones like Revolution, which was reviled by the New Left in 1968 for not being militant enough. Discussing their movies, he goes beyond the received wisdom of A Hard Day's Night, Great, versus Help, Sell Out, to look at the uncanny symbolic subtext of both films, in particular, Help's preoccupation with the Beatles' humiliation and sacrifice. In the year after Help, the Beatles would become a locus of hatred for anti-Western crowds in Japan and the Philippines, as well as conservative Christians in this country, thanks to Lennon's cheeky observation about the Beatles becoming more popular than God. McKinney stops at all the familiar shrines, holy and blasphemous, on the standard Beatles pilgrimage, but he offers lots of fresh, sometimes startling ideas as to why they're still worth revisiting. Of course, some of us, the aging Beatle maniacs with the shaggy hair, won't need to be persuaded.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Magic Circles, The Beatles in Dream and History by Devin McKinney.